You're listening to a message taken from a live service at Crossfire Youth Ministries and the Sun Life Broadcasting Network.
You can turn in your Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. I am going to continue along in the series that we've started on Romans 6, 7, and 8. And we are going to discover how to live successfully for God. We're also going to discover what makes it hard to live that way. And we're going to find that Jesus Christ has provided a solution. Remember what we talked about the last time that we were together, that what we're talking about in here is not just merely something that is to be acquired in your mind, right? Everything that Jesus and that the Holy Spirit has provided in the Word of God, all of the theology that we study, all of the doctrine that we study, everything, all the sermons that we preach, it's to impact your life, to change you, all right? It's not just dry historical information about a man who lived many years ago. This, what we're talking about, it needs to change you. In fact, it's not doing its job, but you're not allowing it to do its job if it's not changing you, all right? We have a lot to be thankful for, but we also have a long way to go. We have a lot to be thankful for, but we also have a long way to go. So let's look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Chapter 6 and verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? A quick answer is, God forbid. And really what the idea is throw that idea away. That belongs in the garbage. Hey, throw it away, far away from you, to not pick it back up again. Well, I'm going to preach a message to you tonight entitled, The Sin Nature is Dethroned by Grace. The sin nature is dethroned by grace. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your Spirit that has moved so wonderfully, so powerfully, so miraculously in this house tonight, Lord. We do not take that for granted. Lord, we do not take that for granted. We are grateful for the moving and the operation of your Holy Spirit, Lord. We have a lot to thank you for because you've been so good, Lord. When we needed a Redeemer, you showed up and became our Savior. When we needed a Deliverer, you showed up and you became our Deliverer. When we needed provision, you showed up and you became our provider. You are our strong and mighty tower. And we run to your name tonight, Lord. You're everything that we need. You're everything that we need. Help me to teach tonight. Give each person in this room a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your Son, that this word would change their lives. And Father, we love you tonight. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen and amen. Amen. What is the most powerful evil force in the world today? A lot of you just had a million thoughts run through your mind, especially right now with the political chaos that's taking place in our world. Some of you just thought of a person. Some of you just thought of a political party. Some of you probably thought of Satan. But you have to remember that Satan himself is driven by sin. We are facing challenges in our society today that can distract us from the most deadly force in our lives, sin. It would be really easy for me to look and say, you know what? No, Satan is the most evil, powerful force in the world today. And anything bad that comes into my mind must come from him. You know, I was telling a couple of the guys the other day that several years ago, I was driving down the road, just had these thoughts running through my mind, and they were plaguing my mind for a couple of weeks. And this is what I was doing. I'd say, I rebuke you, Satan. Get those thoughts out of my mind. Those thoughts don't come from me. Those thoughts, they didn't come from me. I rebuke you, Satan. Get those thoughts out of my mind. And this is when Mary Beth and I, we were still dating, and I'm driving down the road to her house. And I can still see it in my mind. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, those are your thoughts. You want to talk about, so I mean, immediately began to weep, immediately began to repent, and immediately began to ask the Lord to give me power, to give me grace, to be free from that. We do a really good job of trying to put all the evil that's inside of us off onto something, someone, or somebody else. The reality is, guys, it's us. Again, we have a lot to be thankful for, and I don't want you to leave out of here forgetting that tonight, but you also have a long way to go. And the more that you experience the life that I'm trying to talk to you about tonight, the more you're gonna realize you have a lot to be thankful for. So the most deadly force in the world today that is going to be a threat to your Christianity for the rest of your life is sin. Bad news, right? Bad news. But Paris, you're supposed to preach the good news. Well, give me a minute and I'll get there. So we do have an issue that we have to deal with, and this is what Paul's really trying to let us know. He's trying to let us see in the Christian experience, there's still gonna be an issue with sin. And I've talked about this the last time that we were together, and I wanna just run through it really quickly. All right, so the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. The power of God for salvation is revealed in the gospel. All right, the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. It's what he did at Calvary. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. And after Paul develops that thought, that theme, that thesis, that is like the, how many of you have ever had to write a paper in here? Well, some of you, I just saw hands not go up. You will be writing some papers, and you're gonna learn all about a thesis. A thesis is really that central piece to your work. It's what you've set out to prove. And after Paul sets out this thesis, he starts talking to us about condemning the whole world in the sight of God, the whole world, Jews and Gentiles alike, all right? The whole world is condemned and under the sentencing of condemnation. They're guilty in the eyes of God, and they need a redeemer. Jesus Christ became that redeemer, and through what he did at Calvary, and faith in that makes you free from the sentencing of condemnation and guilt that you had over your life. It makes you free, and you are justified by faith. All right, when you believe in Jesus Christ, what he did at Calvary, the Holy Spirit pronounces you justified, just as if you had never sinned. Can you imagine? Man, when I heard people start teaching me about justification, I started thinking about all the crazy that I did before I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, and to think that, man, he can forgive me of that. It's a miracle. It's tremendous. It's amazing. He can forgive me of that. I'm justified, just as if I have never sinned. And that's what Paul does. He justifies anyone who will believe in Jesus Christ. They are justified in the eyes of God. Then he does something that is almost like a twist in the story. He brings sin up again. Because the believer needs to understand that what you are going to have to fight, it's not gonna be your friends, it's not gonna be the political chaos, it's not gonna be your professor who gives you an 89 point something. It's not gonna be your spouse, right? Your problem is gonna be you, sin. All right, so he brings this up again. You need to understand this, that you still have to deal with sin. And Paul is saying at the end of this little pericope, this statement here, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Is God's grace your license to do whatever in the world you want to do? Throw that thought in the garbage. It doesn't matter if I do this. Well, you know, if I did do this, God will forgive me. So it won't be that big of a deal if I, and maybe you're even just struggling. Lord, I don't want to, I don't want to, I don't want to, I don't want to, I don't want to. And your don't want to isn't good enough. Let me say it this way. Your don't want to isn't strong enough. You know, willpower can take some people a long way. Some people more than others. Willpower can give you strength to overcome some things in your life. It really can. You got to be careful about how you tell on yourself. But when I was in college, one of the things that I was struggling with when I first got into college was marijuana. And drinking, I was drinking most every weekend. And every now and then I would smoke weed. Well, then I learned I was going into criminology and they drug test you. So I was like, yeah, probably should stop doing that. And I had enough, this is before I got saved, I had enough willpower because there was a reward if I did it. So I quit, didn't touch it again. I had willpower to overcome that. But willpower could not set me free from alcohol. Willpower could not save me. You see, willpower can take certain people into certain places, but what willpower can never do, ever, is save you. It's faith alone. And then you come under, once you have accepted Jesus Christ, you come under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You are delivered from sin. You are delivered from its power, its authority, its grip on your life. You are free. There's a problem. You start trying to live for God with that willpower that you tried to exert before you gave your life to Him. Well, now what that willpower does is it gives strength to the sin nature again. And you now bring yourself back under the law of sin and death. And you find yourself in a very confusing state, like the Apostle Paul did. Everything that I know is good that I'm trying to do, I cannot do it. Everything that I know is bad that I do not want to do, that's all I seem to be able to do. And that's a very confusing place to be because you're saved. You know that you know that you know that you've been born again, that you've been transformed by the power of God. You know you've been changed and you're trying really hard to not do whatever it is you're trying not to do because you know it's unrighteous, it's unclean. God does not like it. Or do we have to talk about that for a minute? God does have a righteous and holy standard. I'll say it again. God does have a righteous and a holy standard. And I said this to you last week, but I'll say it again because it needs repeating in this generation. We live in an age where no one should ever have to tell me anything. Don't tell me how to be. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me where to go. Don't tell me how to dress. Don't tell me what to think. Don't even tell me, well, I'm not going to do it. But you don't tell me what to do. No one has authority over me. No one has power over me. I am, this is what you're saying, even though you might not say it, I am my own king. I rule. And that is embedded in more of us than we realize. All of us. God has a standard. And His standard is revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ. The righteousness is revealed in the gospel from faith to faith. God has a standard. And we answer to it either today or we will answer to it in the judgment day. But answer to it we will. All right, and He has a righteous standard that He's expecting us to live by. Some would say that that righteous standard is the law. Well, that's really a weak covenant compared to the righteous standard that the gospel requires of you. The law says, thou shalt not murder. I say to you, you shall not have hate in your heart towards anyone. And we're even instructed by Jesus not to hate our enemies. Hate's not acceptable under the new covenant. The law didn't address hate. It addressed the results of hate. This new covenant holds you to a higher standard. If we were still held to the standard of the Mosaic law, then I could hate all of you. I just can't murder you. No, that doesn't work. That doesn't jive with the new covenant. Jesus tells us that we can't even hate our enemies. Maybe you find yourself today unable to quit hating somebody. No matter how many times you try, you just can't quit hating them. Every time they come around you, you just run the other way. Every time they come around you, you do one of those little evades in that conversation group, right? You see them in the grocery store, man, you make sure they do not just keep walking. Good thing we've got masks now, right? Can't quit hating. That's sin, guys. That's sin. And the only power that can dethrone that force inside of you that won't let you quit hating that person is the grace of God. It's not because you simply just can't get along with them and don't like them. No, guys, we can't keep going with that mindset or that way of thinking. They're just not my kind of people. Well, you're going to have to spend a long time with some people that just aren't your kind of people in eternity. It's not okay to hate. Oh man, I wish I could get some better feedback than that. It is not okay to hate. I'll preach it to myself. It's not okay for me to hate anyone. It's not okay for me to treat anyone differently than I would treat all of you. It's not okay. God doesn't look at that and just kind of bat his eyes at it. He's looking right at that. And you can't quit doing it. It's sin. You need grace. You need the grace of God. Now, I have totally left my notes at this point. But that's okay. Because I think the Lord has used that illustration to really drive the point home. Some of you, you just thought of a couple people. I think we all probably, if we were honest, can think of one. We need grace to dethrone sin, because it's not okay that I keep hating someone. It's not okay that I keep looking down on another believer. It's not okay that I keep talking about that person behind their back, but I don't have any strength to go and say it to their face. It's not okay. We got to deal with sin in our heart. And ultimately, what I came to talk to you about, singers and musicians, you can come back. We're running out of time here. But ultimately, what I want you to understand is that sin is more than just an action. It is a force inside of you. It is Paul likens it to a reigning monarch. I had in my notes right there to make fun of Sean. But when I read that note, I was like, that could really turn around on me quickly. But then I thought, if you tell on yourself, if somebody's going to make fun of you, just beat them to the punch. Anyway, Sean, the college that Sean went to, they were the Mighty Monarchs. He was a, look at, it was a hockey team, and they were the Mighty Monarchs. Not like kings, but like butterflies. Look at him. Okay, I'll tell them myself. When I was in college, halfway through my time at D&E, our athletic department had to change the name. I think it was, legal reasons, something. They had to change their name. And we were the Davis and Elkins Senators. I was like, man, it's not a bad name, you know? And then we find out that our name's been changed. Now, mind you, they sent out a survey to all the students except the athletic department. None of us knew about it. So one day we just find out that they had renamed us the Davis and Elkins Senator Squirrels. What? And then we're at the very first time we see the mask, I'll never forget it, basketball game, mascot comes running out onto the court. In a squirrel suit with a top hat. It's like, what are we doing here? But the sin nature is like a king, okay? Not a butterfly. Somebody thought it was funny. Sometimes you shouldn't tell jokes because you can't get past it. But not like a butterfly, like a king that reigns on the throne of your heart. all right? And the sin nature is mentioned several times throughout, starting in 5:12 and then moving through the end of chapter 6 when the sin nature is mentioned almost every time, except for a few. It is a noun with a definite article in front of it. That it's like 18, I want to say it's like 18 mentions. I have it over here, but it's close to that. Definite article, noun. That is, if you're talking about a literary device, something that someone's trying to push on you when you're reading, that's overwhelming. You know, if somebody mentions something two times, listen up three times, you better pay attention. 18 times, don't miss it. Don't miss it. The sin. And then there are four times where it's a noun without a definite article and it's personified. A master, a king, right? Sin nature is a king. And according to your faith, if you're trusting in your own strength to give you freedom, to give you liberty, to help you to overcome that sin, that hate in your heart for someone, you're trusting, I'll just try harder, I'll pray. As soon as I start to hate, I'm just gonna go and pray for an hour and the Lord will set me free. As soon as I start to hate, I'm just gonna go read passages about loving my fellow believers, right? Start trusting in what I'm doing to give me freedom from that sin that's in my heart. See, that only causes sin to abound. It only gets stronger and stronger. The only answer is the grace of God. Only the grace of God. That's unmerited, undeserved favor that God gives to you to walk in freedom from the power of sin. But it's not just unmerited, undeserved favor. It's the help of the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Titus chapter 2 that the grace of God has appeared unto all men, bringing salvation, teaching us. Again, personifying, now we're personifying grace. Grace is a teacher. What does it teach me? Deny ungodliness. Deny worldly lusts. And live with a sound mind. Soberly, live righteously, live godly. In this present age, literally within a world that is the exact opposite of the life that God has called you to live. Grace comes in and gives you, not only does it doesn't just teach you what to do, but it gives you the power to do it. We need grace to dethrone the sin nature that's in our heart. How do we receive grace? Well, righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for therein is the power of God for salvation. How do I get it? I believe in what Jesus Christ has done for me at Calvary. And what we'll see is we don't just have to know this, we have to account it to ourselves. We have to bring it into our account, believe it, believe it's true for me, and let it set us free from the power of the sin nature. Stand to your feet tonight. If we could, I'd like to, for just a few minutes, sing Amazing Grace. And if you're struggling with anything in your life today, I'd like for you to just come down here. Nobody's gonna make fun of you. It's not something to be ashamed of. But if you're struggling with anything and you wanna see that grace come into your heart and set you free, just come around these altars for a few minutes and let's believe God to do it. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness that you've shown us tonight, Lord, for your Spirit that has been with us tonight. Lord, we thank you tonight. Lord, we trust you tonight. We believe you tonight. Lord, what I ask for each person that has come up here tonight and each person that may be tuning in through Sun Life Broadcasting Network, Lord, that you would give them a revelation of what you've accomplished for them at Calvary, to walk in the freedom and the liberty that your grace has afforded us over the power of sin. Lord, we ask for freedom tonight. Lord, we ask that you would set the captive free in the name of Jesus. Lord, we believe you to do it. We love you, we honor you, and we trust you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We love you guys. We'll see you next Wednesday night. Be sure to be at our service Sunday morning. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for today's Crossfire program. And as I mentioned before, I pray that this program was a blessing. If you have any prayer requests, any needs, or any testimonies, you can see the Crossfire email address right there at the bottom of the screen. Feel free to send in your emails just to let us know what the Lord has done in your heart and in your life. Thank you for being with us. Don't miss another Crossfire program, and you need to tell others about Crossfire Youth Ministries. We love you. God bless you.